Today on the TV Time Machine, we welcome Saffron Burroughs of Mozart in the Jungle. Ms. Burroughs is an accomplished actress who starred in such series as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Law & Order Criminal Intent, and Boston Legal. Over the next segment, Saffron Burroughs will talk about her Golden Globe-winning series, Mozart in the Jungle, whose third season is now available for streaming on Amazon Prime Video. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to play your cello, feel free to take a bow as we leave our classical past in order to pass our baton into the present. Saffron, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Saffron, tell us about your character, Cynthia, and what's coming up in the third season of Mozart in the Jungle.
Well, Cynthia is a cellist within this orchestra, this sort of family of orchestra members that we explore, all based in New York, and then we travel. So in season three, a chunk of the season shot in Venice, Italy. It's a comedic look at this group of musicians. And also, there are some sort of moments of sorrow and sadness as well as comedy. But my character in particular, she's been very involved in this strike. She's a union organizer. And there's a strike that we find ourselves in when we start the season. Some orchestra members are extremely worried because, you know, they're not earning. So one of them's taken to driving for Uber, and others have joined other orchestras because they're concerned about their livelihoods. And for my character in particular, she's at a complete crossroads. She's at an emotional crossroads because her last relationship failed. But she finds herself coming up against a couple of ex-boyfriends who she sort of yearns for and feels nostalgic about along the way. She's quite in the doldrums, I must say. And then a couple of lovely things happen to her. She finds someone new and she joins her. There's a band she was with. She has a reunion concert and plays bass guitar and kind of remembers why she loves music. You know, she sort of gets back in touch with that.
So how, as a person, how would you describe Cynthia? How complicated is she?
She's pretty complicated. she lives alone, which I think is interesting. That is an interesting choice for someone to have made. And, you know, we've seen in the past two seasons, she's had relationships with Malcolm McDowell's character and with a woman, Gretchen Moll, who was the union lawyer, and a couple of others along the way. And she... I think she's romantic and would ultimately like to be with someone properly, be with someone, really live with them. But she can't seem to get there. And she adores what she does. You know, she's devoted as a musician, but she comes up against this season, this injury there's an injury that's been plaguing her for quite some time. And as you know, it's very much like the athletic world. Your body is everything. And
right.
If your body starts to let you down, that's a grave concern. So she meets someone who actually is in the athletic world, who's going through a similar problem himself. And that's an interesting connection she makes. So, yeah, she's at a crossroad, I'd say, in every way. There's a time in her life that's quite frightening and sort of limbo time. And right. Everyone she sees around her is sort of solidifying their lives to some degree, and she feels like she's floundering.
Right. She should feel that way, essentially, because the way you describe it, it sounds like she's perhaps facing a career-ending injury, and also she's on strike, too, so her whole life is in turmoil.
Yes, her whole life is in turmoil, exactly. You put it very well. It's sort of bad in every way. When we first find her, and that's partly why they chose not to have her be in Venice with some of the other musicians, because you should feel the sense of isolation, and that they're all rather fragmented. All these characters, you know, and Bob's off there, and Joel Bernstein's character, the first violinist, is, you know, having a breakdown, and another guy's been kicked out of the house by his wife because people are having real economic, you know, hardship they're enduring because of this. So, yeah. So that's all at play.
So as personally, as an artist, what do you relate to most about playing an artist like Cynthia?
Well, I love it because she's very close to me in lots of ways, in terms of, you know, I've been acting for a very long time, since I was 17. And
right.
I and I understand the sort of the love affair you have with what you do. But for actors, I do think there's, you know, there's some discipline involved, certainly. But the degree to which they dedicate their lives in this orchestra to this to these instruments they play is, you know, it's not like anything really that actors experience. I mean, I think we're not we're dedicated, but it's a very different, you know, that thing of having to play for 4 or 5 hours a day to be brilliant is really interesting to look at. But she's very similar to me in that she's traveled a lot, and I was sent off traveling when I was 15, you know, into the modeling world. And so she's lived a lot in hotel rooms on her own and and felt that sense of solitude that I've certainly experienced, you know, just making films around the world and you know, the joys of that, and then also just the solitude of that, of going to a new country and working with a group of new people for 3 or 4 months. And so, you know, obviously she's toured as a musician a lot in her younger life and experienced that too. That's interesting to me.
Now, since you're playing a cellist on the show, what have you learned about the playing and the proper handling of a musical instrument?
That's a good question. You know, I realized my teacher, her left hand is an entirely different shape to her right hand.
Right.
Because she's been playing for so long that the fingers, you know, the span of her fingers on her left hand
right.
is about an inch wider than the other. And it just,
wow.
these muscles that people develop over years and years, obviously I can't develop those in time to shoot the season of Mozart. So at first you feel like you're just in despair and you're floundering because it's too hard to achieve. And then you get over that and think, okay, pull yourself together. I've got to get a performance together. And then it becomes really enjoyable. You know, it's such a joyous thing to play. Rikers Island, for example, I have a solo. And often we don't have that much time to prepare because they figure out the music and say, okay, in 4 days we're playing this. And in a way that's very good for you because it crystallizes your brain and makes you learn something fast. So the challenge of that is amazing. You know, I have teachers come to my house in New York when we're filming, learn things at, you know, at dawn. I did start to do a very funny thing. Is on the way to Purchase University where we were filming, my cello teacher would kindly get up with me at 4 a.m., ride with me in the van to work, and we'd do air cello all the way. just so we could just hope that I'd be ready by the time we were filming for the piece.
So how proficient have you become on the cello?
Well, I've learned all the pieces you see on screen I've had to learn. There's not much time to learn beyond that when we're filming because it moves so fast, you know. So I always wish I could learn more, but they'll say, learn, you know, 90 seconds of this or 2 minutes of this, and then that's what you set your mind to. And you become obsessed with those 2 minutes, you know.
Right.
And then I found I was staying in a house in New York, in Chelsea, where there was a hobby horse of some kind that was one of the kids. I realized that substituted for a cello on my car journeys to the set. So I would, obviously you can't pull out a real live big cello in a truck that's moving fast.
Right.
I had all these substitutes for the instrument so I could just practice wherever I was.
That's great. Now, what can audiences expect to experience when they watch Mozart in the Jungle this season?
Well, you know, I think if they've watched the previous two seasons, they'll feel a fondness for everyone and a real a great feeling of the accumulation of getting to know who these people are. There's a lot that happens in Venice, Italy, at the start. Gael Garcia Bernal's character is conducting Monica Bellucci, who plays this wonderful opera diva. And there's a sort of love story between them that's fantastic to watch. And then you've got all the richness of Venice. And then you've got this intercutting between Venice and New York, where those of us who are in New York are having a really tough time, and those of us in Venice are having maybe a more Venetian time.
Right.
And then so it's a feeling of everyone's very fragmented at the beginning of the season, and then there's a coming together as the season progresses. And as we move towards, say, the Rikers Island experience, that performance, my character experiences also that she really loves these men who she plays with, these men and women who come to support her when she does her bass guitar moment. They come and support her, and they have a moment of vandalism where they all express their anger about this strike in a certain way that I don't want to reveal too much, but it's pretty humorous.
Yeah,
what
don't reveal too much.
I won't reveal too much.
Saffron, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Thank you so much.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television. Capturing television history, one voice at a time.